Man, I appreciate all of those who serve in our wonderful family here, from every aspect of service: ushers, greeters, security, men's, women's, youth, children, our praise team, our sound team, our media, our creative teams, all of that, man, every one of them, man, our outreach teams, our missions teams, man, so thankful for all that you guys do and invest in creating a place where people can grow, where people can learn, where people can be involved, and we are super thankful that you're here this morning. Amen? Amen. For those of you who are new to the area, you know, like from California, New York, New Jersey, there's a phenomenon that takes place. It's almost a Houdini act, right? They're calling for snow tomorrow, so if you go by the grocery store, you probably won't find milk or bread. And I don't even know why. I'm like, do you drink that much milk all the time? I mean, and the crazy thing is, for you guys who don't understand, the crazy thing is it's not going to stay but like a day. Like it's and then milk goes like it's going out of style. Dairy farmers pray for snow, right? And bread factories pray for snow. But be assured that the snow will go away fairly quickly, as it normally does. And a day later, you might find some more milk in the shelves. Amen. Isn't God amazing? So good, so good. Good to have Sarah's aunt and uncle with us. I think it's Lisa and Sam, is that correct? Good to have you guys with us this morning. Yes, that's all right. Good to have Brother Carter back with us this morning. Amen. Appreciate you, brother. Man, woo! I could just shout and run, dance. God is good. I want us to continue to pray. We've had several out. You know, there's been several different bugs going around throughout our community. And so glad to see some of you back. And those of you who are home watching online because you're still coughing and sneezing and all that good stuff, we miss you. We pray you get well quickly. And we look forward to seeing you real soon. Ken, stand up, man. I mean, this guy's got a pep in his step. Yeah. He came this morning and said, "Pastor, I don't have to have surgery because the doctor said that my valve is healing all by itself." Come on. Well, we know who the real healer is, don't we? And we give glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for being the healer in the house. And we're super thankful for what God's doing. And I just believe more and more that God is doing amazing work. Amen? Amen. I'm still trusting Him. Yesterday we were in a devotion, our men's coffee and devotion, 7:30 at Vienna Coffee on Saturday mornings. Yesterday we had 10 guys show up and we just broke bread together. We just really broke the word. And the question came up is, do you believe I'm able to do this? And what a word and what a conversation that began as we discussed God's ability to do the amazing. Amen? Amen. And so it was really good. Men, I encourage you, if you have an opportunity, you can be a part of that. What a refreshing time to just chew on God's word and be able to encourage one another in that environment. Amen. So last week we kicked off more of a vision statement of for this year, talking about that 2024 is a year of equipping and advancing, equipping the body for the advancement of the kingdom. And we use the word out of Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13, and He gave some to be apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of... We really talked about what it looks like to see the body of Christ equipped What it really means to edify, the word edify meaning to build up, that we are building. As we equip the body, we are building the kingdom. Amen? And so we understand that that building process does not come complete until we are completely in His presence. Come on. Until He has come back and received us unto Himself, right? So that we can reach the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. And we recognize that as we are looking to equip the body, equip the saints for the work of ministry, that we also recognize that we have a mission within our church. And that is what we believe what Jesus has called us to do. And that's to seek the lost, right? To serve one another, to disciple and send. It's cyclical because once we are discipled, we send them back out to follow the pattern of seeking, serving, discipling, and sending. And we as a local congregation choose to look at these core values of how we will do that. We do it first through the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we're Spirit-led, that we are authentic, we are real. I don't want to come in with a mask on my face. I want to come in as a real person, right? There's not an AI standing here this morning or a holograph or a hologram, whatever that's supposed to be. This is the real deal. What you see is what you get. Oh, me and praise the Lord both, right? Authentic. We're missional. We understand that we have that we're all missionaries in the kingdom. We have a mission. Every one of us has a mission. It may not be crossing the seas, but it could be the fact that we are missional to wherever we work, wherever we go, in our home places. But we understand we have a mission. We're life-giving. God's called us to be life-giving. Amen? And collaborative. We understand we work together. And we talked about that all of this flows out of the priority of love. We are to love one another, right? Jesus told them, quoting from Deuteronomy 6 and 5 and Leviticus 19 and 18, He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." So we understand that we do what we do out of a heart of love. One, love for us. God loved us. He first loved you, right? And the Word of God tells us that God is love, right? So perfect love casts out all fear. So we recognize out of a heart of love that God first loved us, it is the priority for us to also love God. And how do we love God? Well, one, we to have a desire and a hunger for God. And we went into talking about the disciplines of the faith and really understanding the necessity to be disciplined to seek His face. Come on. You know, I was talking to a fellow pastor yesterday, actually Friday, and we were talking about going, sometimes we go to conferences, and you go to conferences and they could be called prayer conferences or whatever. And it's usually a bunch of preachers. That tells you there's trouble already, right? There's a bunch of preachers. And you know, the worship can be going on and there'll be some who are involved, but then the teaching starts happening and it's like there's a disconnect. And yet you can go to an amazing event with Jim Cimbala or somebody like that teaching about the presence of the Holy Spirit, and there'll be just a hunger in the room, right? And me and him was talking about the fact that how many times do we get satisfied where we are that we lose the hunger for more? How many times do we get into the rut of being satisfied of just experiencing God in the level that we are and being satisfied and content with where we are in our relationship to God, and we don't seek anymore. We don't have a drive to go deeper anymore. And it's discouraging because sadly is that sometimes pastors themselves get into a rut where we might be studying for a message, but is there a daily principled interest an intentional relationship with God that penetrates our hearts and that breeds a fresh hunger and fire in us that pours out into others so that they too can experience the same thing. Amen? So in preaching this message, it is just as much a message for me as it is for you. Somebody recently talked about preparing a message. I said, well, look, if you're preaching what's convicting you, then I guarantee it's probably going to convict others too. Amen? If it's stirring your heart, then it's also going to stir others in kingdom purpose. Amen. So we need to develop a hunger for God. And we talked about the fact that we have communion with God. And the very first discipline that we talked about is the study of God's Word. How many understand the Word of God tells us to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or discerning the Word of truth? When we look at the Word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture, say all Scripture, not some, not part, not just what we want to dissect to make us feel happy, but all Scripture is God-breathed for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And so therefore, if all Scripture is given to us for these purposes, don't you think we should know all Scripture?
Amen.
Amen. It means we need to study the Word of God so that we can hear the voice of God. You want to hear God? Get into His Word. I'm not discounting the fact that God can't give us a rhema word, a spoken word, but every spoken word will align with the Logos, the written word, and we need to get into the written word to confirm what God is speaking to the church today. Amen.
Amen.
If we have a love for God and we're truly seeking the face of God, then we'll also have the heart of God. Love God, love others. And I believe when we think about what God has called us to in the seeking, serving, discipling, and the sending, that we see the Great Commission very plainly. Go and make disciples. First off, he starts with, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth, right? Go therefore, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you until the end of the age. When you look at that scripture, there are four specific commands in there, but most of them, there's only one true command. There's four things that we see that we should be doing, going, right? But the true command is making disciples. And so to make disciples, I believe that we have to have a heart of prayer. We need to have a relationship with God, be in tune with Him, and to understand the necessity of prayer. If you want to make a disciple, you got to teach them to pray, right? Jesus' disciples came to Him in Matthew chapter 6. They were wanting to know, how do we pray? Amen? I believe the very foundational teaching on prayer, that prayer is divine. Think about this. You and I, take your little hand there and pinch yourself a little bit, right? Y'all feel that? It's called flesh. You and I, in flesh, have the ability to pray to God who is Spirit.
Amen. Yes.
That is a divine unction that God gives you and I. It's a privilege. And to recognize that prayer is divine. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 says, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Come on, right? God wants us to pray. We recognize that. And I would say that most Christians do pray. Matter of fact, I would probably submit to you that all Christians pray. Some of us pray in spontaneous ways. Some of us pray intentionally. We pray when we're driving down the road and the guy about runs us over, oh, God, help us. Right? We pray when the runny nose starts happening, oh, God, I don't want to be sick. I can't afford to be sick. We pray when a friend or when we hear of a request, we might pray a prayer over the spontaneous request given to us. But many Christians defy the call of God to get into the secret place with Him. That's one of those old me, right? I had a great doctor friend in Honduras, and he would yell out, "Ay de mí!" And that basically means, oh me. We defy sometimes the foundational teaching. And disobedience is a strong word. Maybe a lack of discipleship has brought us to that place. Maybe a lack of understanding of the true authority that we have, a taking for granted the fact that God is God, that He is holy, that He is righteous, and He is willing, right? I mean, when Jesus asked the blind man, you know, "Do you think that I'm able to do this?" I mean, the fact is that God wants to know, do you believe that He's able to do the unimaginable, the unthinkable? Do you believe that He's able? Because if you do, you would trust Him and do it.
Amen?
Amen? And because so many times we defy this foundational teaching of getting into the secret place, closing the door, getting into the secret place, we miss out on the rewards that God has for us in the secret place. And what it said, for the Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Right? Now look, if I told you that if you go to the bank at such and such time, and they're going to be handing out, you know, $1,000 a person, if you show up and you get there at this time, that you'll get they're giving away $1,000, right? Many of you would not only be there on time, but some of you would camp out overnight to make sure that they didn't run out before the last $1,000 was given away. And yet we have an unlimited God. A God who owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. A God who's able to heal, renew, and deliver, and set free. A God who's able to do whatever you need Him to do for His glory and for your good. And yet we defy even getting into the secret place with Him just to call on His name. God help us, right? The word secret in secret place is the word that we get, our English word cryptic, a cryptic message. It's hidden. And sometimes I believe the only time we are willing to get into the prayer time is when we're in the corporate setting. And there's a time for that. There's a necessity for that. But there's so much more that God has for us when we will get into the secret place with Him. I mean, think of Psalms chapter 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perils of the pestilence. You want to shield yourself from the attack of the enemy? Find yourself in the secret place. You want to find strength in God? Put yourself in the secret place in Him. Amen? Prayer is divine. Prayer is divinely holy. We're coming before a holy God, right? We're becoming before, no wonder the Word of God tells us, be holy for I am holy. Because we're coming before a holy God. And so to get into the prayer closet is a time of getting into the holiness of God, the presence of God, right? And the Bible says when we go in, it says right here, When you enter the inner room, close the doors. Turn to your neighbor and say, close the door. You know, when we get into that place and we close the door, we are getting into a place where we're locking out the judgment of the world. We lock out all of the brokenness of the world and we put ourselves into the presence of God. Genesis chapter 7, verse 16, God closes the door of the ark, right? He closes the door of the ark before he judges the world on the outside. On the outside is judgment, but in the inner courts is the miracles of God. And so we need to get into that place where we can lock out every distraction, everything that would keep us from drawing near to him. Genesis 19 and 10, the angels pulled Lot into his house and shut the door, blinding the people of Sodom that was about to be judged. There's something about getting into the inner place and locking out all the outside things. Matthew 25 and 10, when the Lord returns for his bride, closing the door against the foolish maidens to whom he says, I do not know you. God, help us to get into your secret place. Help us to get into those places where we can be open about our brokenness, where we can be open about our failures, right? Isaiah 26 tells us, it says, come into the inner room and close the door behind you. And it goes on and says, hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will reveal her bloodshed and no longer cover her slain. Look, when we enter the secret place, this is a reason we don't enter the secret place. Because we know that there's things in us, hidden sins that we don't want to tell God about. Do you think he don't know? Maybe there's weaknesses that we are afraid to uncover in the presence of God. Maybe we're just ashamed of what we have done or what has gone on in our life, and we're afraid to get into that place. But it's coming to him. The Word of God tells us to come boldly before the throne of God. It's coming to him that gives us the strength to be able to go. That's why prayer is divine. It's not on our ability to get into the Holy of Holies. Because listen, when you get into the Holy of Holies, there's no labor in the Holy of Holies. God and you. And God wants us to come in there. He's invited us. The Word of God tells us that when Jesus was on the cross and when he had died, that the veil was rent in two. In other words, it became open for you and I to be able to go into the presence of God. So the only one keeping you from the presence of God is ourselves. We want to experience the majesty of God. We want to experience this amazing presence. It's available. But are we willing? Are we hungry? When we go into the closed door, the secret place, it's a vulnerable place. It's a place where we're willing to say, Lord, I don't know how to pray. It's a place where we can go and say, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I'm struggling. It's a place where we can set aside the strength that we try to put on for everybody else and just lay out in front of his face and say, God, I am broken and undone. Yeah. I may look strong to them out there on the outside, but Lord, right here, right now, I don't have it all together. Right here, right now, God, I don't know even what to tell my friends or my family. I'm really lost for words. We become vulnerable before God. We lay down all of our worldly strength and we say, Lord, I need you. I need you. Prayer is divinely holy, but also prayer is divinely powerful. Because when we lay down our our struggles, when we lay down that in the holy place, in the secret place before God, God begins to do the miraculous for us. I see a story in 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 through 6, where one of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha and said, "Your servant," this is what she said, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor has come to take my two children to be slaves." Listen to what Elisha said. "Hey, what can I do for you? What do you have in your house?" And she said, "Well, I don't have anything but just a little jar of oil." Some of you might be proclaiming, "I don't have anything but just a little jar of oil." And what did he tell her? He says, "Go and gather no small amount of jars. Go to your neighbors. Gather jars. Bring them here." And then he says something else. "And shut the door behind you." She went and gathered, sent her boys out, gathered as much jars as she could, brought back into the house, and she shut the door. And guess what took place? She started filling those jars. And you can imagine their eyes as they wide open, that one jar just kept on flowing out oil. Because guess what? Prayer is divinely powerful. And when we will be willing to go in and shut the door and be intentional to get before God and share with Him, "Lord, I don't have the means to do this. Lord, I am struggling with this." God says, "What do you have in your house? What do you have in your hand, Moses? What do you have with you? Because if you'll trust me, if you'll get in the secret place with me, I can do the impossible. I can direct your path. I can provide for you what you never thought you could do." Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God wants us to get into the inner circle, into His inner courts. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 6, "For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure." You have it. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You got the treasure. You have this treasure." What treasure? We have the anointing of God. We have the Spirit of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have this treasure. The light that shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. We have this treasure so that the surpassing greatness of His power. Come on. Not just His power, but the surpassing greatness of His power shall be of God and not of us. Man, doesn't this make you want to pray more? Doesn't it make you want to just put together a list of needs and start praying and trusting God to see what He will do in the midst? Come on, right? Can you imagine if every Christian was fervent in their prayer? The Bible says this, "The faithful, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much." But you've got to be faithful. Amen. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, 32 to 34 says, "When Elisha came into the house, behold, the lad was dead and laid on his bed. So he entered and shut the door." He shut the door behind them and he prayed to the Lord. Guess what? God entered in. Isaiah 26, 17 through 20. As the pregnant woman approaches the time to give birth, she wreathes and cries out in her labor pains, "Thus were we before you, O Lord." Just like us, before God, we're wreathing in pain as if we're giving birth. Verse 18 says, "We were pregnant, we wreathed in labor, we gave birth as it seems only to wind. We could not accomplish deliverance for the earth, nor were inhabitants of the world born." How many sometimes feel like you can't get anything accomplished? How many times it just seems like you're just spinning your wheels? I mean, you're just chugging along. It's like you look back and you haven't gone very far. That's the way this prophet felt. But listen to what God's response is. Verse 19 of Isaiah 26. "Your dead will live." Come on, somebody. Lord, I speak new life over us. Amen. I speak new life over our church. I speak new life over our community. "Your dead shall live." Come on, Lord, let it be so. It says, "Your dead shall live. Their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy, for your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits." Verse 20, "Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide there for a little while." Come on, somebody. You want to see God move? Get into the secret place. You want to see your children saved? Get into the secret place, right? You want to see our community delivered? Join together and let's start seeking the face of God. Amen. Amen. I'm closing. Maybe. Is that like the Apostle Paul said, "Finally, my brethren," and wrote two more chapters? Prayer is divinely privileged. We have the privilege of being able to pray. Some may consider it a chore. Look, if you get into a religious mode, it just becomes a part of a religious thing you do. It just becomes a chore. It becomes task-oriented. And I know that some of us are task-oriented. We like our check boxes. We like our lists. And that's how we accomplish our daily task. But prayer is not a chore to be checked off your box. It's a privilege to be able to commune with a holy God. Amen. It's a privilege to be able to get into His presence and commune with Him, to allow Him not only for us to speak the worship and honor and glory to Him, but also Him to speak to us. Thank God that He's invited us into the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies exists for sinful man. Doesn't sound right, does it? Amen. But the Holy of Holies exists for sinful man to experience a holy God. Prayer is divinely practiced. What do you mean? Well, I've got good news for you. You can't do this by yourself. You can't pray by yourself. You don't have the ability as a physical flesh to be able to commune with God. Now that might sound discouraging, but one would say, but God, right?
Yes, amen.
God gives us the ability. Only by God does God's power manifest as we praise Him, right? The thing is that we don't have the ability to pray long. We're too distracted. We don't have the ability to take time to pray. We don't have ability to pray for many things. We don't have the ability to even praise God sometimes. And some of you feel that, right? We don't have the ability to pray fervently. We don't have the ability to pray for a relationship's sake. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 through 13 says, "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees What you've done in secret will reward you. Verse 7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask. Verse 9, pray then in this way, our Father. Come on. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. When I look at this, how Jesus gave them a model of prayer. One, it begins with praise. Hallowed be your name. But where did he take them for them to learn this prayer? To a secret place. He took them to a secret place, a place of seclusion for them to be able to find the intimacy of God. And he got along with them. We can look in Mark chapter 14. And we can see where Jesus took his disciples, Peter, James, and John. He took them with him into a secluded place and began to pray. And the Bible tells us that he was anguished. He knew what he was about to have to do. And so he went off and prayed. And he told the disciples, be watchful and pray. He went away and came back a little later, and guess what the disciples were doing? They were asleep. He said, can you not pray an hour? Look, we don't have the ability to pray now unless we have him with us. Disciples, thank God for these wonderful disciples that show us how broken we really are. Thank God for disciples that let us realize that they were real people just like us, who struggled just like us. How many times have you started reading the Bible and your eyes just get heavier and heavier, right? How many times you knelt down to pray and find yourself with slobber on the chair? About an hour later, oh Lord, what happened? Thank you, Jesus, for the rest. Right. But we've got to pray. It doesn't negate the fact that God has called us to something divine, to be able to intersect heaven in a prayer that touches the throne room of God, that begins to quake the situations that we're in. The enemy begins to tremble, because when we touch heaven, the world trembles. No wonder the enemy tries to distract us. No wonder we get caught up and so deluded. Because the enemy knows if he can get us from doing this right here, keep us from getting into a position of humility before God. If he can keep us from truly, intentionally praying to the one that can do the impossible, then the impossible doesn't happen. Look, I'm not against our patty cake prayers. Some of us, we pray every time we sit down to eat, and it's the same words every time we sit down to eat. I'm not against that. Thank God that you're thankful for the food and the nourishment to your body. Amen. But when's the last time that you knelt down with intentionality to plead with God for someone that you love dearly? When's the last time that you shut the door behind you? You said, honey, I love you, but I'm not against you, but the Bible has given us a reason to separate for this moment, and it's for prayer. Think about that. The only time that's even justified for husbands and wives to separate is for a time of prayer. And you get into the secret place and you let God do the impossible. Look, I'm not here to discourage or condemn, but I want you to realize that a part of the disciplines of our faith, if we want to walk in a true trust of God, if we want to walk in a true faithfulness to God, His Word becomes a priority for us to read, and prayer becomes a priority for us to accomplish, because it is divinely given to us. This morning I want to ask, do you have something you need to pray about this morning? Yeah. Is there some things that you need to enter in and pray for this morning? Some family members that you've been wanting God to touch? God's able to do far above what we may ask or think. If we know that, are we willing to pray in that way? If we know that He meets us in the secret place and He rewards those who pray in the secret place, isn't it time to find a secret place? This morning I'm going to ask you, are you willing to find a secret place to pray? Are you willing? Look, I'm asking you, will you pray for this pastor? Will you pray for this pastor and his wife and his kids? Look, the enemy doesn't like when we start getting deeper in His Word and we start encouraging people to do what God's called us to do. And so therefore, I need your covering. But I want you to understand that covering is being reciprocated because I'm praying for you. I'm believing that God is moving us in a deeper direction towards Him, a closer intimacy. And I'm looking forward to the reports of what God does, that God touches a valve.
Yes.
And there's healing and there's no need for surgery. I'm believing to hear reports of people being healed, of people being delivered, of people being saved. Amen. My son or my daughter who's living afar off, I got a call from them the other day, and man, they just got saved, and I don't know who even won them to the Lord, but they're calling and now they want to be baptized. That's the reports I'm believing God's going to do. Because we, as a church, get desperate for a holy God instead of desperate for a lost world. We hunger for God. And as we hunger for God, we have the heart of God to pray for a lost world to receive the love of God. Before I'm dismissed, if you say, Pastor, I have a specific need that I want you to pray with me about, I want to pray with you this morning. If you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if my relationship with God is where it needs to be. I haven't communed with God in a long time. It's not that I don't believe. I believe God, but I don't pray. And I want that relationship to be closer. And today I want to make a decision to draw closer to Him. With His grace and His mercy, I want to make a decision to draw closer to Him. Would you raise your hands with me this morning? Yes. Yes. Anyone else? Yes. Amen. 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 That's my desire. Amen. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Would you stand with me right now? Would you just lift your hands before the Lord? Can we just worship Him, the one who is worthy? Father, I thank You, Jesus. Lord, for the Spirit of truth that will lead us into all truth. And I pray that Your Holy Spirit today will strengthen us, encourage us, direct us, lead us, Lord. God, we need You more now than ever. We recognize that the end is closer now than it's ever been. We see the turmoil in our world. We see the wars and rumors of wars. We see the weather patterns and all those things which Your Word said would take place. And I pray that we will also be willing to recognize the signs of the time. And Lord, as we draw closer to You, Lord, I pray that You'll give us the boldness of the Holy Spirit to be able to reach out to those who are lost and undone, to be able to share Your truth with them, to be able to love them as You have loved us. God, I pray for a deeper relationship with You, Lord. I pray that we will draw closer to Your presence, that we will tune our ears to spiritually hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church today. Lord, let us not walk in doubt or without confidence, but God, let us have boldness and confidence to hear Your voice, to enter into Your secret place, to enter into the Holy of Holies. Lord, I pray that as Your children walk in faithfulness to You, that they will recognize the faithfulness of God, that the miracles of God will begin to take place in their lives. Lord, that You may be lifted up and exalted, that Your kingdom may be expanded, and that the world may know that You are God. To You be the glory, to You be the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you love Him? Amen. Well, I can guarantee you He loves you. Hallelujah. Listen, Awake 21, as soon as we hear something, we will get the word out to you. If there isn't a weather event and our roads are closed or whatever, it will not happen, all right? So we'll send out a text to the whole church. If you're not on our not in our directory, see Miss Marie or Kim, we'll make sure you're in the directory, but we'll send out a text. Also follow Awake 21 on Facebook. They will also tell you whether or not service will be held tomorrow night or not. Love you guys. Let somebody know you're happy to see them this morning. May God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.